you're the pundit. I'm just a simple president.
I'm just a simple president. You piece of meat. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Sam Cedar for sitting in for me Friday night. It's readily apparent that I got through the last round of oral surgery. And any of you people who are afraid to go have oral surgery, a bunch of cowards, it's easy. Anyway, I'm glad that's over. And again, thanks to Sam for sitting in. Phoenix Truth Seekers, don't forget, coming up Saturday the 23rd, Scott Ritter and I will be in Phoenix for a gig being sponsored by KPHX and Nova M Radio. And there are still tickets left, but they are, I know this sounds like a riff, but it's true, they're going very fast. 1480kphx.com, 1480kphx.com. to pick up one or two and come on over and say howdy to both Scott and me and participate in whatever crazy event the ringmasters are coming up with. I'm not exactly sure what Scott and I are going to do, but it should be very interesting. So go to 1480kphx.com and find out about ticket information, okay? Also tonight we have some moron sounds for you. There's only a limited time left to enjoy the wise and wistful musings of Mensa Man. That would be our president. So we've got a sprinkling of simian speak for your listening pleasure. And it's all courtesy of Fix News Sunday. He was on there yesterday with Chris Wallace, who is the illegitimate child of Mike Wallace. It'll be fun, I promise. So stick around. And two program notes for our two newest affiliates, KTLK in Los Angeles. Welcome once again, unless there's a hockey game, in which case you're listening to that. And also for our listeners at Dallas on KMNY 1360, Cynthia McKinney is going to be on right after this program. There's a show called Point Blank with Tunde Obasi. And tonight, you fans of Cynthia McKinney's who are in the Dallas area, stay tuned to KMNY 1360 in Dallas to pick up the interview with Cynthia McKinney. All right. Any other announcements? Are we having a yard sale? Bake sale? Anything? No? That's it? Okay. There is a confluence of weird events. It seems to me I said that last week. But it's kind of accelerating. And I don't know if that's because the official end of the Bush regime is at hand, or if corporate America is panicked that somebody will pop up out of the weeds to become president. As long as it's Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or John McCain, corporate America is safe. They don't have, you know, there's nothing to worry about. Or Huckabee. It doesn't make any difference. Corporate America will be safe because none. So, what the confluence of events that we're talking about has been occurring for the past, well, it's been several months. But I got this weird email from our resident philosopher, Bob Alexander, today. And the subject is Dark Future. And he sent links to a couple of articles that I've been following right along. It's amazing how you get to the point where people who listen to the program start anticipating where you're going to go with that night's show or the next week's show or whatever. But if you remember, back in October of 2006, which would be, what, a year and a half ago, almost a year and a half ago, the Bush crime family, in effect, legalized martial law. And the way that happened, on October 17th, 2006, Bush quietly signed a bill allowing him to declare martial law whenever he feels like it. This is a summary of it. For the current this is from Toward Freedom website. For the current president, enforcement of the laws to restore public order, that phrase means to commandeer guardsmen from any state, over the objections of local government, military, and local police entities, and then to ship them off to another state. You know, scoop up the people from Mississippi and the National Guard, send them to California, and put them in a law enforcement mode, and then set them loose against so-called disorderly citizenry. You know, protesters or strikers, those who object to some of the health rules and laws. Like, there are a lot of people in this country who don't like the idea that they have to get their children vaccinated. I don't happen to be one of those people, but there are a lot of people who do feel that way before they can go to public school. There are a lot of people who are aware that there are forced quarantines in the making, in the event of a so-called bioterror event. All of this stuff, you see, it comes under the heading of enforcement of the laws to restore public order. The law also facilitates militarized police roundups and detention of protesters, including so-called illegal aliens, so-called potential terrorists. Jesus, I guess I'm a potential terrorist, and other so-called undesirables. Hell, that's half this audience. For detention in facilities already contracted for and under construction by Halliburton. Now, you're way ahead of me here. Under the cover of a trumped-up immigration emergency, for example, and the frenzied militarization of the southern border, the fences and the this and the that, detention camps are being constructed, designed for anyone who resists the foreign or domestic agenda of the Bush administration. Now, that's a year and a half ago. Now, Bush's Martial Law Act of 2007. On October 17th of 2007, the Unitary Decider signed H.R. 5122, or the John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007. Now, according to a press release from Senator Patrick Leahy's office, the bill takes a, quote, sizable step toward weakening states' authority over their National Guard units, according to the congressional leaders who are leading the fight for Guard empowerment, end quote. Patrick Leahy and Senator Kip Bond, a Montana Republican, quote, said the conference agreement is expected to include a provision making it easier for Bush to declare martial law, stripping state governors of part of their authority over National Guard units in domestic emergencies. The provision is opposed by the National Governors Association and by key leaders in both the House and the Senate, I would think. Now, January 13th, 2006, Doug Thompson, writing at Capitol Hill Blue, writes, President George Bush has signed executive orders giving him sole authority to impose martial law, suspend habeas corpus, and ignore the Posse Comitatus Act that prohibits deployment of U.S. troops on American streets. This would give him absolute dictatorial power over the government with no checks and balances. Now, this is stuff, of course, that's been occurring over the past year and a half, 2 years, and there's so much more. Bush is signing statements, which in effect declares the will of Congress to be null and void, and the will of Congress is supposed to be the will of the people. It isn't. It's the will of the corporations. But sometimes, by accident, the will of the people slips through, dribbles through. And Bush immediately, on the advice and direction of Dick Cheney and the rest of these thugs, immediately pounces on that kind of legislation and attaches to it, like a lamprey, a signing statement, which in effect nullifies what the law says to begin with, which in effect nullifies the will of the people, which is a joke, but we still are playing the joke. So, all of this has been going on quietly with no fanfare while the media are reporting on truly important stories like the deaths of Hollywood stars and writers and you know, who's going to get the custody of the children and this and that and the other thing. All of which I'm not suggesting is not necessary news, because we are an entertainment-oriented society, but and we got to have our entertainment news, or we will all go into cold turkey and start vomiting and shivering and asking for more black coffee and warmer blankets. But there's more to this, much more, and I want to share with you some more when we come back. So stick around, okay? Don't go away, and don't call right now, because if you call right now, you're going to be on hold for a while, because we got ways to go before we take phone calls tonight, okay? Okay, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
W's got a mission. W's got a plan. W's got a pistol. It's burning in his hand. Cause he's turned the world into one big Texas. What?
I regret I had to tell you right in war. I never wanted to be a war president.
Past the hour. So as Bob points out, and I certainly agree, and I think most of us can come to the same conclusion, it's safe to say that Bush and his crew of bandits together have made martial law easier to declare. It is so much easier now than it was, say, in 2000. And the question always comes up, why? Well, Bob writes, I used to think there was another, quote, terrorist attack, end quote, on our horizon. After the Washington State caucus, I've adjusted my thinking. The precinct captain said that the caucus in 2004 brought out 2% of the people, but this caucus, it was 20%. The school was packed. The auditorium was overloaded, and classrooms had to be opened up so fire safety rules weren't violated. No Diebold machines, just one guy per precinct with a calculator. The vote was overwhelming for Obama. We live in a predominantly so-called black area in Seattle. I met people who admitted that they hadn't voted in the last two presidential elections, have never attended a caucus, and they were only there because of Barack Obama. Regardless of the punditry and their proclamations, black folk are showing up to vote for Obama because for the first time in their lives, it looks like they finally might have someone to represent them. It doesn't make any difference whether or not that's true. They are there because he's running for president of the United States. I haven't heard that much hope and optimism ever across the board. Nothing better happened to Obama, Bob writes, as long as the Bush regime is in power. Following Martin Luther King's assassination in 1968, rioting broke out in over 120 cities. If Obama is assassinated, the exploding outrage will give Bush the perfect opportunity to pull the martial law trigger. And a Muslim patsy would be icing on their cake. You see, the problem with having an imagination is that sometimes it turns on me and bites hard. That's an interesting from Bob. That's an interesting scenario, and it's very scary. And isn't it unbelievably insane that we have to think that way? That we have to anticipate the possibility of those kinds of actions against us by our leadership. Now, for the terminally naive, it's a shock. For a lot of folks who have been paying attention, who truly been paying attention since, say, 1960, 61, and who have followed the trajectory of assassinations and political upheaval and lies and dirty tricks and all sorts of things by Democratic as well as Republican administrations in this country. If you've been paying attention, if you've been watching how this noose of control, of utter and absolute executive power has slowly been tightening, then it is not so much of a surprise to find out that over the past year and a half, George Bush has been signing laws introduced by members of Congress that, if the dice are thrown properly, will give him the power to institute martial law in a way that Abraham Lincoln couldn't have imagined, Richard Nixon couldn't have imagined, Kennedy couldn't have imagined. And it's all lying there, just waiting. Now, one of the shocking aspects of this, and this is comes from progressive.org, and it was written by our good friend over there, Matthew Rothschild, is the FBI has deputized businesses. Are you aware of something called InfraGuard? InfraGuard. Are you aware of InfraGuard? You're not. Well, as Matthew writes, today More than 23,000 representatives of private industry are working quietly with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. The members of this rapidly growing group called InfraGuard receive secret warnings of terrorist threats before the public does, and at least on one occasion before elected officials do. In return, the members of InfraGuard provide information to the government. Now, of course, this alarms the ACLU. It should make every American who still believes in the fond memory of freedom and justice in the American way alarmed also. But there may be more to it than just providing information. One business executive who showed Matthew Rothschild his InfraGuard card told Matthew that they have permission to, quote, shoot to kill, end quote, in the event of martial law. InfraGuard was started back in Cleveland in 1996, and that's when the private sector there in Cleveland cooperated with the FBI to investigate cyber threats. Phyllis Schneck, who's the chairman of the board of directors of the InfraGuard National Members Alliance, God, that sounds Nazi-ish, doesn't it? Said, then the FBI cloned it. And the prime mover behind the growth of InfraGuard over the past several years has been the FBI. InfraGuard itself, then, is an FBI operation, with FBI agents in each state overseeing the local InfraGuard chapters, and there are now 86 of them. This alliance is a nonprofit organization of private sector InfraGuard members. Now, I have some more for you when we come back, and you better find somebody to hold on to, because this stuff gets pretty weird. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Just a smile on every face. Common sense is ringing out the bell. This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road.
Subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
26 before the hour. All right. To kind of recap this, this is a progressive.org, and it's a piece written by Matthew Rothschild about the FBI deputizing, that's pretty much what it amounts to, more than 23,000 representatives of private industry are now working quietly with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. It's called InfraGuard. It started back in Cleveland, Ohio in 1996. It's an FBI operation with FBI agents in every state in the union overseeing local InfraGuard chapters. This is what it says at the InfraGuard website. At its most basic level, InfraGuard is a partnership between the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the private sector. InfraGuard chapters are geographically linked with FBI field office territories, end quote. Now, back in November 2001, this organization, InfraGuard, had about 1,700 members. As of late last month, InfraGuard now has 23,682 members, according to its website. And you can get the information, InfraGuard.net, InfraGuard, InfraGuard.net. The site adds that 350 of the nation's Fortune 500 companies have a representative in InfraGuard. and there's still people who don't think we have become a corporatist state. Oh, my. FBI Director Robert Mueller addressed an InfraGuard convention in August of 2005. At that time, the group had less than half as many members as it does today. Robert Mueller said then, quote, to date, there are more than 11,000 members of InfraGuard. From our perspective, that amounts to 11,000 contacts and 11,000 partners in our mission to protect America, end quote. He added a little later, quote, those of you in the private sector are the first line of defense, end quote. Really? In the private sector? In the business community? They're the first line of defense against what? At that convention, Mueller urged InfraGuard members to contact the FBI if they, quote, note suspicious activity or an unusual event, end quote. And he said members could sic the FBI on, quote, disgruntled employees who will use knowledge gained on the job against their employers, end quote. Like a whistleblower? Son of a bitch. In an interview with InfraGuard after the conference, which is featured prominently on the InfraGuard members' website, Mueller says, it's a great program. Well, the ACLU doesn't agree, and I don't think you agree with what you've heard so far, unless you're a right-wing nutball, in which case you're probably sitting there in the dark playing with yourself right now saying, oh, good! Oh, good! The ACLU warned in a recent report titled The Surveillance Industrial Complex, How the American Government is Conscripting Businesses and Individuals in the Construction of a Surveillance Society. ACL said, quote, there's evidence that InfraGuard may be closer to a corporate tips program. You know, tips, turn people in. They had different names for it in Soviet Russia and in or the Soviet Union and in Nazi Germany, but we call it tips here. Anyway, there's evidence that InfraGuard may be closer to a corporate tips program, turning private sector corporations, some of which may be in a position to observe the activities of millions of individual customers, into surrogate eyes and ears for the FBI, end quote. Now you understand, right? Because I do now, why it is so important to members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, and certainly the Bush crime family, to grant immunity to the telecoms who were only doing what they were told to do. To spy on you and me. But aside from that, how much of this is going on? InfraGuard itself claims 23,682 members as of late January, late last month. That's their claim. All directly connected to the FBI, feeding information. Now, it gets worse. It gets worse. InfraGuard is not readily accessible to the general public. I mean, you and I, unless you're a corporate person, a business owner, or on a board, whatever, you know, you're kind of out of the loop, booby. Its communications, InfraGuard's communications with the FBI and Homeland Security, are beyond the reach of the Freedom of Information Act under the trade secrets exemption. You see? Now, in voting, they call that proprietary information. The programs that run the Diebold machines and the other machines that are counting our votes. Proprietary information or trade secrets. Any conversation with the public or the media is supposed to be carefully rehearsed according to InfraGuard's website. This is what it says. The interests of InfraGuard must be protected whenever presented to non-InfraGuard members. During interviews with members of the press, controlling the image of InfraGuard being presented can be difficult. Proper preparation for the interview will minimize the risk of embarrassment. The InfraGuard leadership and the local FBI representative should review the submitted questions, agree on the predilection of the answers, and identify the appropriate interviewee. Tailor answers to the expected audience. Questions concerning sensitive information should be avoided. End quote. Holy God. Now, as Matthew writes, one of the advantages of InfraGuard, according to its leading members, is that the FBI gives them a heads up on a secure portal about any threatening information related to infrastructure disruption or, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, terrorism. The InfraGuard website advertises this. See, if you join up, one of the benefits of joining InfraGuard is you will gain access to an FBI secure communications network, complete with VPN encrypted website, webmail, listservs, message boards, and much more. InfraGuard members receive almost daily updates on threats emanating from both domestic sources and overseas. Now, the special status afforded members of InfraGuard is one of the reasons that the ACLU has its antennae up right now, and you should. I damn sure do. As the ACLU says, the FBI should not be creating a privileged class of Americans who get special treatment. In other words, there's no so-called business class in law enforcement, is there? Well, there is now. Jay Stanley, public education director of the ACLU's Technology and Liberty Program, said, if there's information the FBI can share with 22,000 corporate bigwigs, why don't they just share it with the public? Huh? That's who the real special relationship is supposed to be with, the public. Huh? Jay Stanley says, secrecy is not a party favor to be given out to friends. And he goes on to say, this bears a disturbing resemblance to the FBI's handing out goodies to corporations to return for folding them into its domestic surveillance machinery. Remember that? We made such a joke about it. Remember? Bush wanted the lobstermen off the coast of Maine to watch out for anything suspicious, and telephone linesmen, and the post office. The postal union said, screw you, or we think that they did. Or anybody who has access to private moments of American citizens were supposed to be, you know, alert. If you were an installer for a cable company, went into somebody's home and saw the posters up on the walls that were less than favorable to George W. Bush, well, report it, because you never know. Right? You never know. Rothschild goes on, InfraGuard members, sometimes hundreds at a time, have been used in what is called national emergency preparation drills. Now, that's according to Phyllis Schneck, that's her name, who's the chairman of the board of directors of the InfraGuard National Members Alliance. God, that sounds Nazi-ish. I am a member of the National Members Alliance. We have ways of finding out all we need to know about you. Sometimes hundreds at a time, the brown shirts have been used in, quote, national emergency preparation drills, end quote. Really? Have there been national emergency preparation drills? Are you aware? Was that what the duct tape and plastic sheeting was about? Rothschild goes on. One business owner in the United States tells me that InfraGuard members are being advised, here it comes, on how to prepare for a martial law situation and what their role might be. He showed Matthew Rothschild his InfraGuard card with his name and email address on the front, along with the InfraGuard logo and its slogan, Partnership for Protection. On the back of the card were the emergency numbers that Ms. Schenck had mentioned. The business owner said he attended a small InfraGuard meeting where agents of the FBI and Homeland Security discussed in astonishing detail what InfraGuard members may be called upon to do. Uh-oh. And we will share with you what InfraGuard members may be called upon to do right after this, commercial break. Just get to confirmation. We can win a million pounds.
Talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball.
10 before the hour. InfraGuard. InfraGuard. And the guard is spelled G-A-R-D. You might want to, just for kicks and giggles, check it out. Check out their website. InfraGuard.net. All right. 23,000 corporate thugs are in this alliance with the FBI to watch for things that need watching for. And getting back to Matthew Rothschild's article at progressive.org, one business owner in the United States told him that InfraGuard members are being advised on how to prepare for martial law situation and what their role might be. The business owner that talked to Rothschild said he attended a small InfraGuard meeting where agents of the FBI and Homeland Security discussed in astonishing detail what InfraGuard members may be called upon to do. The man says, quote, "The meeting started off innocuously enough with the speakers talking about corporate espionage. From there, it just progressed. All of a sudden, we were knee-deep in what was expected of us when martial law is declared. We were expected to share all our resources, but in return, we'll be given specific benefits. These included," he says, "the ability to travel in restricted areas and to get people out." But that's not all. Quote, they said, when, not if, when martial law is declared, it was our responsibility to protect our portion of the infrastructure, and if we had to use deadly force to protect it, we couldn't be prosecuted. End quote. Kurt Hagen is CEO of a company called Securo Group, a company that does, quote, "strategic planning, business continuity planning, and disaster recovery, physical and IT security, policy development, internal control, personnel selection, and travel safety," according to its website. Mr. Hagen tells Matthew Rothschild that he's a former FBI agent and that he has been an InfraGuard member for many years. He's a huge booster of the plan. He says, quote, "It's the only true organization where there is the public-private partnership. It's all who knows who. You know a face, you trust a face. That's what makes it work." He goes on to say, "InfraGuard absolutely does emergency preparedness exercises." When Rothschild asked about discussions the FBI and Homeland Security have had with InfraGuard members about their use of lethal force, Mr. Hagen says, quote, "That much I cannot comment on, but as a private citizen, you do have the right to use force if you feel threatened." The man went on to say, "We were assured in the meeting that if we were forced to kill someone to protect our infrastructure, there would be no repercussions. It gave me goosebumps. It chilled me to the bone." Huh. If you want to read this in its entirety, go to progressive.org. Progressive.org. Now, before the break, you want another one? Boston police are preparing to go into some of the city's more dangerous neighborhoods, this is according to the Boston Globe. Knock on doors to private houses and ask if they can search for illegal guns without a warrant. And officials with the Boston police are trying to pitch this idea as a friendly cooperation to residents who might see it as a threatening intrusion. They have a friendly-looking logo, a drawing of a house surrounded by the sun. And that's on the front page of a brochure police have put together to explain and promote this initiative called Safe Homes. Photos of officers playing baseball with children and chatting with teenagers dot the pamphlet. By the time they start going door to door next month, police hope they will have reassured the clergy, neighborhood leaders, and parents who still see the program as a way to violate the privacy of residents in neighborhoods with a large population of minority group members and immigrants. No, we just want to come in and look. Deputy Superintendent Gary French, who will oversee the Safe Homes program, said, quote, "There is a big trust issue. I think a lot of people think there's going to be some kind of behind-the-scenes hook to this. And really, there isn't. Mm-mm. The reality of it is it's strictly a program aimed at getting guns out of the hands of juveniles." End quote. To further put residents at ease, officers going door-to-door will wear civilian clothes and try to look like office workers on Casual Friday rather than FBI agents, according to Mr. French. He says, quote, they won't go in there in a three-piece suit. Since announcing the initiative in November, police have held several community meetings about the program and developed an advisory council of religious and community leaders. They suggested that the brochures make clear that residents do not have to consent to the search. You don't have to. You know. If you don't want us to come in on a voluntary basis, you don't have to. But it raises the question, like, what are you hiding? Son of a bitch. Are you nervous yet? Well, our affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin, Brian Turney, who's the program director there, 92.1 The Mic in Madison, Wisconsin, sent me the link to this story about what is it? InfraGuard. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate the tip. And the other story comes from the Boston Globe. And the rest of it, what we started this hour with, it came from Bob in Washington State. Got an email from somebody in Vermont that said, who's going to protect me against InfraGuard? And my answer, cryptic and to the point, was, you are. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 after. InfraGuard, huh? InfraGuard. Oh, my God. This is kind of interesting. The 200 members of Company A, 1st Battalion, 24th Marines, who are based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, were planning to spend the weekend, this just passed, engaged in urban patrol exercises on the streets of downtown Toledo, as well as inside a vacant building on Madison Avenue in downtown Toledo. That's my hometown. A lot of vacant buildings in downtown Toledo. Anyway, it says here, Toledo police knew days in advance about their plans for a three-day exercise, yet somehow the memo never made it to Mayor Finkbeiner, the mayor of Toledo, who ordered the Marines out yesterday afternoon, just minutes before their buses were to arrive. Spokesman for the mayor said, quote, the mayor asked them to leave because they frightened people, end quote. The spokesman, Brian Schwartz, went on to say, quote, he did not want them practicing and drilling in highly visible areas, end quote. So after a brief stop at a friendly base in a suburb of Toledo, the Marines left on their way back to Grand Rapids. Staff Sergeant Andre Davis said, quote, I wish they would have told us this 4 hours ago, end quote. Sergeant Davis, who traveled ahead of the five-bus convoy, stepped from his vehicle into downtown about 3:20 p.m. and was told by a city employee that the mayor wanted him and his soldiers packed up and out by 6. Members of the 1st Battalion, 24th Marines, have trained periodically in downtown Toledo since at least 2004, and most recently in May 2006. Their exercises involve mock gunfights, ambushes, the firing of blank ammunition. So the Marines set a course for the battalion's weapons company headquarters in suburban Toledo as soon as they heard about the mayor's decision. The visit was no surprise to Toledo police, who Tuesday issued a news release to media outlets on behalf of the Marines that asked Toledoans not to be startled by the sight of camouflaged soldiers toting M16 rifles and ducking in and out of buildings in downtown Toledo. Wow. The crazy man, insane McCain. This is getting more bizarre and more bizarre. Jesse of Florida, in Florida writes, McCain will make deals with anyone. Anyone to be president. Just put up that picture of McCain hugging Bush after what was done to him during the 2000 campaign. McCain is a spineless loser. Be aware that the Republican machine will remanufacture him when he wins the nomination. McCain is dangerous and should not be allowed to become president. And this is from Raw Story today, rawstory.com. Last Friday, a day after Karl Rove donated $2,300 to John McCain's campaign, McCain put aside a longstanding grudge over Rove's tactics in securing Bush, the 2000 Republican nomination, and McCain said that Rove's advice would be welcome in his campaign. McCain said, quote, "Nobody denies he's one of the smartest political minds in America. I'll be glad to get his advice. I get advice from a lot of people. I'd be happy to have his advice," end quote. My God. The news came just before Bush praised McCain as a true conservative in a Fox Noise interview. Bush said, and we'll have it for you in a second, "If John is the nominee, he's got some convincing to do to convince people that he's a solid conservative, and I'll be glad to help him if he's the nominee," end quote. Now, if you remember, McCain's relationship with the Bush and these rat bastards that are part of the Bush crime family has been tangled since the 2000 primaries in South Carolina. Remember that? McCain was falsely accused of leaving POWs behind in Vietnam. He was accused of fathering an illegitimate black child. And it was whispered that his wife, Cindy, had a drug problem. He's got a black baby, and his old lady's strung out on crack. Can you believe that? And he abandoned other POWs. So that was Karl Rove's work. All of it. All of it. And the signal event in that campaign in South Carolina, I remember this. This is after McCain won in New Hampshire, remember? And then they went on to South Carolina. And then the gates of hell opened and out stepped Karl Rove, burping brimstone. And the signal event in that campaign was a telephone push-pull. When voters were asked, "Would you be more or less likely to vote for John McCain if you knew he had fathered an illegitimate black child?" McCain said on Friday, just passed, quote, "I've always respected Karl Rove as one of the great smart political minds, I think, in American politics. I've always respected him. I've seen Karl Rove many times when I've been over at the White House. We've always had pleasant conversations," end quote. Oh, my God. Hey, John, if Karl Rove wants to have sex with Cindy, are you going to say, "I've always liked Karl Rove"? Cindy, get out here! And the Jed Report over at Daily Kos talks about McCain's lousy joke about Chelsea Clinton 10 years ago. McCain was speaking to a group of Republicans, and he said, "Why is Chelsea Clinton so ugly?" "Because her father is Janet Reno." And as Jed Report writes, "The joke is vile in more ways than I can count. Chelsea is and was beautiful. Not that that should even matter. It's never acceptable to make a joke like that. But the fact that Chelsea was a teenager at the time makes it even worse. The joke wasn't merely sexist and mean, it was also homophobic. It's a brutal indictment of McCain's personal character." and the character of those who laughed along with him, and the media let him get away with it. Son of a bitch. Prairie 2 writes, hey Mike, McCain's address to the CPAC conference in Washington last week was politely received with the booing and heckling from the back of the room, drowned out by cheers and clapping. Turns out the reason that the crowd was so favorable was that the very few CPAC members were able to get into the room. The hall was packed with McCain supporters that were bussed in for the purpose, and the bulk of the booing was confined to an overflow room where they watched their own conference on TV monitors. Booing and catcalls were permitted in the free speech zone, though it's doubtful these people even realized what had been done to them. Brown shirts always think that they are the real power right up until they are rounded up and shot. Yeah, just like it's always been, huh? Speaking of all that, Mensa Man spent some of his remaining days quacking at Chris Wallace on Fake News Sunday yesterday. It was entertaining in a black comedy kind of way. We want to share some of it with you. Let's start with this one. Chris Wallace asked Raisin Brain about his opinion of John McCain. The ever-incisive Chris Wallace says, Rush Limbaugh says that McCain's nomination would destroy the Republican Party. Ann Coulter says she would vote for Hillary Clinton because she's more of a conservative than McCain. Is John McCain a true conservative?
Absolutely. I know him well. I know his convictions. I know the principles that drive him. And no doubt in my mind, he is a true conservative. I think that if John's the nominee, he has got some convincing to do to convince people that he is a solid conservative, and I'd be glad to help him.
And I'm sure he would just welcome your help, George. All the other candidates have avoided you like, I don't know, some kind of a venereal disease, but McCain would love to have you out there talking about his drug-addled wife and illegitimate black baby and all those POWs he left in Vietnam. Right, George? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people?
They put their faith and trust in God and corporations. They stand for piety that doesn't suffer.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past hour, a little good news from McCain. The toad frog, Gary Bauer of the Family Research Council. Is that thing still in operation? You remember Gary Gary Bauer? He ran for president one time, little toad frog, and he was throwing pancakes at some kind of event and fell off the stage or something. I don't know. Jesus. Anyway, back to Raisin Brain on Fixed News Sunday with the terminally weird Chris Wallace. In this interview, Wallace asked about Huckabee. You know, after talking about McCain, he's got to do equal time and all that. Wallace said, let me ask you about Mike Huckabee to give equal time. Mike Huckabee, you say, a good conservative, accused your foreign policy of displaying an arrogant bunker mentality.
Yeah, I think he's tried to walk back that position. I haven't spoke to Mike about that, but he was a good, solid conservative person. And you know, I remember Mike when he weighed a lot, and I'll never forget getting off the airplane, and there he was at the foot of the Air Force One. I couldn't recognize him, and the reason I bring that up is he's disciplined.
So what do you say to those conservatives, those Republicans who have questions about both of these candidates?
Right.
Because, as you know, the Club for Growth, some of the anti-tax and spending groups have problems with Huckabee as well. What do you say to them when they're running their litmus tests on McCain or Huckabee?
I say if you're looking for perfection, you'll never find that person. I certainly wasn't a perfect candidate for a lot of folks. You know, you're not going to find perfection.
Wait. You weren't a perfect candidate for a lot of... Let me see, an AWOL alcoholic cokehead? A coward? Strutting little banty rooster? No, you're right. You weren't. No, you're right. You're not. He says you're not going to find perfection. Maybe not. But there are miles of distance between chicken hawk, chuckle nuts, and perfection. I'm really. Come on, George. You weren't a perfect candidate, partner. You weren't even on the perfect candidate scale. You were the patsy. You dumbass, haven't you figured it out yet? That they put you in there, corporate America and the neocons put you in there, the energy industry, the defense industry put you in there because they knew Cheney could control your worthless ass. Don't you get it? Of course not. So I remember Mike when he weighed a lot. I'll never forget getting off the airplane, and there he was, the foot of Air Force One, and I couldn't recognize him because, you know, he was like a Blotto or Bluto, a big, you know, like Jabba the Hutt or whatever. And the reason I bring that up is he's disciplined. So let's vote for the candidate that can stick to a diet. Son of a bitch. This is beyond bizarre. Next, the questions turn to Iraq. And little Chrissy Wallace asked, in Iraq, you have announced a plan called Return on Success to draw down the number of U.S. troops to 15 brigades by this summer, which would basically bring us down to pre-surge levels. The question is, what happens then?
I met with General Petraeus when I was in Kuwait on my trip to the Middle East. And my message to the general was... success is paramount, and therefore whatever you recommend, make it based upon the need to succeed. And so what does succeed, what does it succeed mean? It means there's enough security and stability for this reconciliation to continue to take place and for democracy to take hold. So to answer your question, I'm not sure what his recommendation will be, nor am I sure what the recommendation will be out of the Pentagon. But there will be, they may be all the same, they may not be all the same. But I will listen, give them careful consideration and make up my mind. But it's going to be based upon whether or not we could succeed or not.
French toast, rocks and sponge fingers, anything. Hello, knock, knock, who's there? George who? Yeah. Chris Wallace says, the question is, what happens then? Well, we learned today that Secretary of Defense Robert Gates is opposed to any further troop withdrawals. So Bush says, in order for us to succeed, we must listen to Petraeus and Gates, who may be the same or not the same, but either way, success is of a definition we must achieve for reconciliation! My God. Then the talk turned to torture, one of Bush's favorite subjects, and this gave Mensa Man a great opportunity to contradict himself inside of 30 seconds, which we don't have left to play the soundbite. We'll do it when we come back. But this is the torture question, and you're going to love not just the question from Chrissy Wallace, but the answer from George W. Bush. My God.
The CIA, with your approval, confirmed this week that you, the CIA, conducted waterboarding on... you're such a man. Can I touch you?
Get away from me, Chris. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you. Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a slide rule is for. But I do know what it one is two. And if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be.
Now, I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be.
My job is a decision-making job, and as a result, I make a lot of decisions, and it's important for me to have an opportunity to speak to you and others who would be listening, explain why I have made some of the decisions I have made, the basis on which I have made decisions, to explain the philosophy behind some of the decisions I have made.
Oh, shut up. So back to Mr. Raisinbrain on Fake News Sunday with the terminally awestruck Chris Wallace. The talk turns to torture. Wallace says, Mr. President, the CIA, with your approval, confirmed this week that you, the CIA, conducted waterboarding on three Al-Qaeda prisoners back in 2002 and 2003. And a White House spokesman said that you can still approve that practice, depending on circumstances. On the other hand, CIA Director Hayden said this week that he's not sure whether or not it is legal anymore to conduct waterboarding.
Whatever we have done was legal, and whatever decision I will make will be reviewed by the Justice Department to determine whether or not the legality is there. And the reason why... there's a difference between what happened in the past and today. There's a new law. And so to answer your question, whatever we will be legal. Now, the American people have got to know that what we did in the past gained information that prevented an attack. And for those who criticize what we did in the past, I ask them, which attack would they rather have not stopped?
Okay, I got one. How about 9/11? How about that one, you dumb bastard? You liar? You coward? You had ample opportunity to stop that one. And you ignored the PDBs, and you made some smart-ass remark to the frantic CIA officer when they tried to warn you when you were cutting brush? All right, you've covered your ass. You can go now, boy. Remember that, George? What happened in the past and today, the difference is, well, then there's a new law. No, there's not a new law. Torture has always been illegal, George. It really has. And his opening line, whatever we have done was legal. It's like Dick Nixon, squared to the third power. If the president does it, it's not illegal. Son of a bitch. And then he says, and whatever decision I will make will be reviewed by the Justice Department to determine whether or not the legality is there. Say what? If whatever you've done is legal, then why would the Justice Department need to determine whether or not the legality is there? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot. You're crazy. Never mind. You're a dumbass and you're crazy. I keep forgetting that part. I don't know why. I really don't. Has it been fun, George, playing president? Leaving Iraq and turning to Iran, Wallace says... Mr. President, where the conventional wisdom is that following the national intelligence estimate that Iran... This is the way Chris Wallace talks. I'm giving it to you verbatim. Mr. President, where the conventional wisdom is that following the national intelligence estimate that Iran gave up its nuclear weapons program back in 2003, that you've lost all your leverage to get more economic sanctions or to threaten the use of force against Iran. That's a hell of a sentence, isn't it? Here is what John Bolton, your former ambassador to the UN, said recently, quote, it's clear that now President George Bush can't do anything on this matter before the end of his term in another year. Well, if John Bolton says you're powerless, Mr. President, how are you going to be able to persuade or to pressure the mullahs to give up their uranium enrichment program?
In my trip to the Middle East, I made it abundantly clear to nervous nations that Iran is a threat.
Nervous nations.
And that's what the NIA said, if you read it carefully.
Oh.
Sure, they had a weapons secret military weapons program, but that doesn't mean they can't have another secret weapons military program. And the key to having a weapons program is the ability to enrich uranium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the NIA sent mixed signals. I feel pretty good about making sure that we keep the pressure on Iran,
yeah.
to pressure them so that they understand they're isolated, to pressure them to affect their economy,
yeah.
to pressure them to the point where we hope somebody rational shows up and says, okay, it's not worth it anymore. And there are some indications we're making progress. I mean, the economy isn't doing as well as Ahmadinejad promised it would.
To pressure them to the point where we hope somebody rational shows up and says, okay, it's not worth it anymore, like Barack Obama, maybe? Or Hillary Clinton? Or who? Who's going to show up? So he says the NIE sent mixed signals. Well, let me see. You know, I'm just a talk show host, and I didn't graduate from Yarvard or Hale or wherever the hell it was you graduated from, but it sounded pretty clear to me, no weapons of mass destruction in Iran and no nuclear weapons program for years. Let me think. Where have I heard that before? Oh, that's right. It was in a 2,300-page document issued by the government of Iraq prior to our, attack. And he is keeping the pressure on Ahmadinejad. Well, that's good. Ahmadinejad needs pressure put on him. Whoever Ahmadinejad is, but he needs pressure. All right, time to get down and dirty and get Bush on the proverbial couch. Work out all that nasty dad stuff. So George, I'm sorry, not George, but lost my head there for a minute. Chris Wallace teases, Mr. President, you and I are members of very different levels of a special fraternity, which is the children of famous fathers. And the difference is that everyone psychoanalyzes you. They don't psychoanalyze me, because there's nothing to psychoanalyze. I'm the dumbest bastard on television, but I digress. I wonder what you make of all the talk, and you've read it, you've heard it, that you're either trying to pass your father, or you're trying to copy him. Pass your father? Did he swallow his father? Or you're trying to copy him, that you went into Iraq to finish the job because dad didn't, or that you organized your first term to try to win the re-election that he didn't. You know, what do you, come on, set the record straight on all that.
It's shallow. Shallow psychobabble.
Yeah.
You ask me what I think. It's,
yeah.
Well, a bunch of people don't have obviously got too much time on their hands. I mean, I used to stay in Texas. You know, I had my mother's, I had my daddy's eyes in my mother's mouth. I mean, I'm a product of two parents, not one. I am who I am. As far as all the rest of the stuff, Chris, you got to understand. You may read it, you may study it. I don't. I make decisions on what I think is right for the United States based upon principles. I frankly don't give a damn about the polls.
Woo!
And I darn sure don't, you know, call a group of people together in a focus group and say, well, tell me what to think. And as far as history goes and all these quotes about people trying to guess what the history of the Bush administration is going to be, you know, I take great comfort in knowing that they don't know what they're talking about, because history takes a long time for it to reach. And there's no such thing as short-term history.
Son of a bitch! There's no such thing as short-term history! How can that be, George? There's no such thing as short-term history! Jesus Christ, Kathy, what does he mean?
I don't know, but I just love it that he says, I take great comfort in knowing that nobody knows what they're talking about because history takes a long time for us to read. Nobody else knows what they're talking about, but he does.
Oh, yeah!
History takes a long time.
There's no such thing as short-term history!
It takes a long time to reach history.
He said the word damn in there, too, didn't he? I don't give a damn about the polls. And he almost said the F-bomb. Did you hear that? He almost did. I'd love to hear that. Oh, God. I have my daddy's eyes in my mother's mouth. No argument there. You certainly didn't get either of their brains. I mean, you know, I'm a product of two parents, not one. Yeah, both of them equally psychotic, so it doesn't really matter, does it, George? I am who I am. Sounds like Popeye the Sailor Man, for Christ's sake. Here, eat some spinach. I am who I am.
I don't give a damn about the polls. You know I don't call a group of people together in a focus group. Carl does that and tells me what to say. And besides, I want you to remember one thing, Chris. I want you to take one thing away from this here interview on your Fox News channel. There's no such thing as short-term history. God damn it, there is no such thing as that. That doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a left turn or a partridge in a pear tree either. And hot Ovaltine. It doesn't exist, Chris. Son of a bitch, don't you peep over here at Fox. Is this microphone on? Oh, God. Now I've lost the Christians. I can't stand it. Meanwhile, Bush's budget that we talked about last week, Bush's 2009 budget plan will slash money for fire prevention and preparedness in the wake of last fall's devastating wildfires in California. You folks in L.A. listening to this? Huh? Cuts to fire assistant grants will limit funds available for rural fire departments trickling down to departments in eastern Oregon. Dianne Feinstein said, quote, our nation's forests are tinned dry and drought and global warming will only compound the problem, leading to more catastrophic wildfires. And this sick son of a bitch is cutting the budget. She didn't say that. I did. Among the proposed cuts was a $13 million decrease in money for the Forest Service to clear debris and small trees that can pose a risk of fire. Firefighting, training, and equipment. Cut, cut, cut. You folks out there in California and Oregon and Idaho and Wyoming, hold on to your asses, okay?
He loves too much. He's got a knock that Western accent with a Dixie touch. She was a wrist on a rockaway. Singing his cow-cow boogie in the straightest way. Come on, come on, I put it,
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Yeah, there's no such thing as recent history. Yeah, that's, you know. Anyway, the fires in the West and droughts here in the Southeast seems to be the order of the day for the foreseeable future. There's not too much you can do to make it rain, and Well, I guess you could make sure that you try to not alter the Earth's climate, but that's, you know, very long term, and who cares? So here in the Southeast, we all may die this summer from no water. We're all just going to roll over, and our tongues will turn black and protrude from our mouths, and that will be the end of us. Meanwhile, you people out west with the fires, there is something you can do about that. You can cut the dead undergrowth that fuels a fire in much the same way gasoline fuels a fire. But no, 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 no. George W. Bush has cut 13 million dollars from funds that were to go to the Forest Service to clear debris and small trees that, you know, go up like firecrackers.
Why do you need that?
Money for preparedness and readiness, like firefighting training and equipment, that's going to be cut $100 million. Norm Dix, who's the Democrat from Washington, representative, chairman of the House Appropriation Interior Subcommittee, called the proposed cuts to the Forest Service breathtaking. It's probably worse than that, Norm. And said they could result in a layoff of nearly 1,200 employees, 10% of the agency's workforce. It's bad, Norm said. Yeah, well, who needs firefighters? You know, this rotten son of a bitch has sent National Guard reserve troops to go fight his oil wars in the meantime, leaving states undermanned, unprotected for these kinds of emergencies, and then the rat bastard defunds the Forest Service. A $5.9 million Interior Department Rural Fire Assistance Grant Program will also be not cut, eliminated. These real fire assistance grants usually go to pay for equipment like fire shelters, radios, tools, hoses, personal protective equipment like shirts, pants, and gloves for the firefighters, the people that actually try to stop a disaster like a forest fire or a house fire or a building fire or a refinery fire. My God, it just doesn't stop, does it? But apparently, you and I are okay with this because we are not camped out in Lafayette Park. There are not 5 million of us surrounding the White House demanding an end to this crap. So, we'll wait for a Democrat to ride in on a white horse and save us all. Unless one of the presidential candidates is shot and it causes disturbances in cities around the country, at which point all of the stuff we talked about in the first hour will come into play. All the signing statements, all the martial law provisions, all of the spying programs, everything will come down with a huge clanking noise. Bang! Or maybe not. Mike, just listening to the show on my way home and heard the discussion about InfraGuard. My husband works for a government contracting organization that trains attack dogs and runs an education program for Iraq contractors called Driving and Shooting, among other things. Perhaps one of the more disturbing things is a number of so-called classes for attendees who are later dispatched to so-called projects in Uzbekistan and other assorted stands. While we don't really know what the truth is, my husband was coerced to join the InfraGuard and is pressured to attend their meetings, which he regularly skips. He calls the organization the Hitler Youth, where they announce potential threats like automated picture frames at Best Buy having foreign computer viruses and other paranoid rhetoric that gets his coworkers into sort of a manic, freaked-out state. We find it scary and bizarre, but I can assure you this group exists and is at least as frightening in its scope as you describe. And I will leave the listener's name and city off for obvious reasons. Oh my God. Well, I guess when they finally come for you and me, Kathy, they can just get into my computer and find all the email that I think I've deleted, right? What is it? Email is never really deleted. Nothing is deleted. There's no such thing as short-term history.
Because history takes a long time for us to reach. As far as history goes, all these quotes about people trying to guess what the history of the Bush administration is going to be, you know, Bush takes comfort in knowing that they don't know what they're talking about.
That's true.
Because history is like way over there.
It is.
We'll never get there.
Here is a candle to light you to bed. Here comes the chopper to chop off your head.
Far away history. It's long, long, long way away.
Here is a candle to light you to bed. Here comes the chopper to chop off your head.
Them people stupid who think we gonna know history.
Here is a candle to light you to bed. Here comes the chopper to chop off your head.
No one knows history and stuff because, well, there's no short-term history. It hadn't happened. It's way away.
Mike, please don't read this on the air, but thanks for the laughter about Bush and the short history or whatever. The story about martial law and Matt Rothschild's article on InfraGuard was scary. I will consider this angle in the coming days. Here's a candle to light you to bed. Here comes the chopper to chop off your head. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
comfort in knowing that they don't know what they're talking about, because history takes a long time for it to reach, and there's no such thing as short-term history.
Oh, yeah, that's classic Bush, huh? Last one on Bush here, I think. This is from The Guardian of the UK. Bush and his crime family apparently is pressuring the 27 governments of the European Union to sign up for a whole bunch of new security measures for transatlantic travel coming this way, including allowing armed guards on all flights from Europe to America by U.S. airlines. The sovereignty of these 27 nations that make up the Eastern European Union be damned. I mean the European Union, not Eastern, the European Union. Their sovereignty be damned. This is what Bush wants. The demand to put air marshals onto the flights is part of this travel clampdown by the Bush crime family that officials in Brussels describe as blackmail. This is what The Guardian says. According to a U.S. document being circulated for signature in European capitals, European Union states would also need to supply personal data on all air passengers overflying but not landing in the U.S. If they just fly over the goddamn country, he wants to know everything about us. All about all the passengers. What do you, what, give me all of it. And within months, according to The Guardian of the UK, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is going to impose a new permit system for Europeans flying to the U.S., compelling all travelers to apply online for permission to enter the country before booking or buying a ticket, a procedure that will take several days. Oh, it'll take longer than that. To our European listeners, people around the world who listen to this program online, I'm sorry. The lights are going off in this country. We have less than a year to turn this around. I'm sorry. We used to be a great country. We really did. And I know a lot of Europeans are coming here because the euro is in such a power position to the U.S. dollar, which is going right down the toilet thanks to Bush. But listen, to people in the European Union, to people in the Middle East, to people in the on the continent of Africa, to people in South America and Central America, we're sorry. Some of us, probably the majority of us, we apologize for this son of a bitch who has been ruining everything for the past 7.5 years. We're sorry. He never got elected. You have to understand that. He didn't get elected either time. The election was stolen. I know what you do in Ukraine. I know what you do in Serbia. I know what you do in foreign countries when you know. I know what you what. Look what you've done what's the African country right now, Kathy, that's exploding because an election was stolen? Kenya. You know, I know what you do in all these countries when you feel that your electoral process has been, except the Russians don't give a damn. But you step out and say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. And we don't here in America. We don't here in the United States. We gave it up. We allowed the Supreme Court to put the first crappy-ass Bush administration in power. And the second time, we allowed them to steal it, just blatantly steal it. Look, we're sorry. Maybe the best thing to do right now is just don't come here. The lights are going out in the United States of America. Do you understand that? You might be here, Mr. Frenchman, Mr. Brit, Mr. Scandinavian. You might be here when the Bush crime family really shuts the lights off. And you don't want to be trapped here. You don't want to become a victim of martial law in the United States. You really, really, really don't. Even if you're white and speak English, you're at risk. But God help you if you're not white and don't speak English. Either or. You know, I apologize. As an American citizen, I apologize for what this pig and his administration have done. I apologize. I'm sorry. Now, in order to come to the United States, if this plan goes through, if you people in Europe don't slam the gate on this bastard, it means that before you even buy a ticket to come here, an airline ticket, you've got to get permission. Son of a bitch, this is the Soviet Union. Do you people understand? It's happening here. In the United States, it's happening. It's happening. I'm sorry. Most Americans are sorry, who still have a brain left. We have such powerful forces inside this country on our media that have just turned so many of our brains into mush water, into garbage crap that leaks out our ears. Rush Limbaugh and all of his pigs and Fox News and all this entertainment crap has rendered us citizens of the U.S. damn near unable to think and certainly unable to respond. I apologize. I'm sorry. Don't come here. Just stay away. Wait and see if we can survive this election cycle. Let's see if this time we can somehow get rid of these neo-fascists. Let's see. In the meantime, stay away. You better stay away. Because if it looks like we are going to get rid of the neo-fascists, there's no telling what might happen here. Don't come here. Don't come here. It's too dangerous. Jesus. And we understand that the European Union, for the past few months, you folks have already been supplying Bush authorities with 19 items of information on every traveler flying from the EU to the U.S. The new demands go beyond that. How could you, 27 nations have done this? Why did you give in? Don't you know what you're doing? You're complicit in making sure. Do you hate us that much that you're complicit in making sure that this Nazi organization, the Bush administration, has your cooperation in clamping down on something as inviolable as international travel, and you're providing all these items of information on your own citizens? Well, maybe you should be apologizing to us, huh? I don't believe this. Ron in Briarwood sent this in. Mike, this morning on MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski was interviewing Mike Huckabee. She asked, quote, "Mitt Romney quit the race for the good of the party. Shouldn't you do the same?" End quote. Huckabee easily smacked this softball question out of the park. He answered, quote, "How is it good for the party to keep members from voting?" End quote. Just one thing wrong with all of this. Romney never said anything about the good of the party. Mika pulled that one out of her rear end. Mitt gave as his reason for getting out of the race the fact that the nation is at war, and by some lunatic Romneyan logic, his continuing to campaign would help the terrorists. If Mika Brzezinski was a journalist of any competence, she would have known this. And then she could have asked, well, Governor Huckabee, are you aiding the terrorists by staying in the war or in the race? I would have liked to have heard Huckabee's answer to that. What a sad state, Ron writes, the so-called mainstream media is in. Yeah, and half the time I feel sorry for Mika Brzezinski because Joe Scarborough, who is complicit in the murder of one of his staffers, or knows more than he will ever reveal, just treats her like a $2 whore. So no offense to sex workers. Doesn't he? Do you ever watch Morning Joe? The way he just ignores this woman who is a newscaster, not a Republican shill piece of human waste like Joe Scarborough. No wonder Mika Brzezinski doesn't ask the right question. She's terrified. If she does, Joe Scarborough will come over with a club and beat her like he did his assistant, his office assistant down there in the panhandle of Florida. What? That didn't happen? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, how do you know it didn't happen?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. How about we take some phone calls? Oh, my. Look how long these folks have been holding on. All right. Let's start with RB, who is calling from Saskatchewan in Canada. Hey, RB.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, well, not so great.
No?
Not after the start of the show today. InfraGuard, I've been on 9/11 blog over the last couple of weeks here. Kind of read about it, but I didn't really get look into it in detail until you read that stuff, and I was going, oh, my God.
About the...
shoot the kill orders. And
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is how it happened in Nazi Germany, is the brown shirts were the ones that were the... Like, the Nazis, the right-wingers always say, well, you know, the Nazis took all the guns away and all that, right? Well, they didn't take all the guns away. They left some in the hands of the people who supported them.
Yeah, but don't forget what happened to the brown shirts.
Well, they eventually got turned on too.
Right, eventually they were terminated with extreme prejudice,
yes,
by the guys in the black uniforms with the SS death's head.
Yes, the SS took care of the SA because there's too many loose cannons of the SA, especially Ernst Röhm, who was a known homosexual and led them. So, but that's as we say, that's long-term history. But I was thinking also, I was reading in the paper today and about the Guantanamo Six,
yeah,
that are going to be, have been tortured into false confessions. They're going to be thrown in front of a military commission, pronounced guilty, and all the evidence will be read out in secret because it's classified, which is how illegal tortured evidence is going to be handled, as classified. And since it was legal then to torture false confessions out of prisoners to get the story you need out of them to fool a country into believing that 9/11 was committed by these, by 19 Arab hijackers led by a some kind of superhuman being with six or seven kidneys on hold in a cave somewhere on the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan that nobody can find, you know, I don't know. I think the American people are smarter than that.
Well,
I'm hoping.
Well, no, we're not. We're a cowardly bunch of people who are terrified of our own shadows. We're trying to break out of it by electing something other than the Bush crime family, by allowing some other group to try to run things rather than have it stolen by the Bush crime family. But as far as these defendants at Guantanamo, it's my understanding, I may be wrong on this, if they are tried and found guilty and convicted and sentenced to death, that then goes to civilian review. Now, before the military could ever carry out executions, and I think there are several scores of people, I think, on death row in this country that have been sentenced to death by military courts. So I'm not sure yet. I saw the article in today's New York Times, and I thought, oh, Jesus, here we go. But I have to believe that saner, cooler heads will prevail and we'll stop this. It's incredible to me that you can... I don't know if Sheikh Khalid Muhammad is responsible for all the things he claimed responsibility for after being tortured. But I do know this. A testimony that comes from someone who's tortured is worthless. It's just absolutely worthless. And if the United States is now at the point where torture testimony can send someone to the gallows, this country is in the toilet and there's no use even trying to save it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But let's say McCain's elected president and this comes before him. Here's a guy who was tortured for 6 years or whatever, eh? He's been there. He understands this.
And he's against it. It's my understanding, McCain.
Exactly. So yeah. I mean, if you're really asking me who I think the neocons want in, I think they want Hillary. I think that's why you see the still adamant opposition by the far right water carriers against McCain, because God forbid, I mean, they can't fix every state and they can't fix every precinct with the Diebold. What happens if McCain does get in and he is a bit of a loose cannon? And then with the power of the executive now, and he gets in there, maybe then he can say, okay, Mr. Rove, I have something I want to show you. So who knows where that could go? Maybe McCain would be the guy to clean it all up and bring everything out in the open and say, hey, look, I had to go along to get along, but I outsmarted him in the end. And he could be the next Eisenhower, but that's wishful thinking on my part, I guess.
Yeah, well, who knows? Who knows anymore, RB? You don't have to worry. You're living in Saskatchewan. What the hell do you care?
Oh, yes, we do have to worry. We just elected a conservative government for the first time in 26 years because things were going too good and we had peace and prosperity.
Yeah, but he's not going to be around that long. he really, no. You all have the mechanisms to get rid of freaks. We don't. We're stuck with them.
Yes, that's true. We still have a paper ballots, and they're counted by hand. And
you have a parliamentary system, so
yes, but we do have a Senate that's non-elected and put there by friends of the current whichever prime minister is sitting. So I mean, we have archaic UK type problems too with our House. You know, that's our House of Lords thing. And you know,
I hear you, but it's
going to cover something up. Send it to the Senate.
It's a little more. A little more manageable. Hey, RB, I got to go.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all night. Oh, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How-
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Kelly is calling. Kelly?
Yes.
Calling from Wichita Falls, Texas. Welcome to the program.
Hey, listen. Yeah, I was just talking or thinking about a little clip I saw the other day on the news with McCain standing in front of that bus, the Straight Talk Express, and I had to laugh after all the talk he had about Falwell, and then he goes groveling over there to Bob Jones University and a major flip-flop. The Straight Talk Express apparently is taking lots of detours. It's just pitiful. And this guy actually gets respect of some people as far as a candidate. And it just makes me laugh. The guy just is unreal. It's just pathetic.
It worries me that somebody could want to have a position of power, like President of the United States, to such a degree that he would embrace the man, in this case Karl Rove, who called his wife a crackhead, said his adopted, tried to use a racial slur against his adopted child, and said that he, as a POW, was instrumental in leaving other POWs behind. And then for that man, John McCain, to turn around and embrace the piece of human waste who made those kinds of charges against him, that's a clear indication to me that John McCain is worthless, has absolutely no sense of values whatsoever. What a sad, disgusting, broken man. And he wants to be president? Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, in a nutshell, I mean, that says just how much his judgment is worth. I mean, the guy has lost his mind to get in bed with the Mayberry Machiavelli robe. I mean, what is he thinking? The man deserves no respect. That says it all right there, Mike. I'm segueing into I had a conversation with a lady at the grocery store here in town. She was asking me about Barack Obama, and I think she's one of these that's going to go ahead and vote for McCain. But she was asking me about Barack Obama and trying to insist that he's a Muslim, and the right wing smear machine is just ginning up already. You know, I could just see it. She was asking me about who I was going to vote for, and then she follows it right on with, because my response to anybody that walks up to me in this town and asks me who I'm voting for is I don't care who it is, as long as it's a Democrat. I am sick of these Republicans and what they've done in the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of them just kind of look at me like I'm a crazy man or something. But, I mean, I feel that strongly. I don't care. These guys have got to be driven from our government. They have destroyed our economy. They've destroyed any sense of decency and rule of law with all the signing statements and the things they've done to thwart clear and transparent government, and they need to be. Oh, I can't even tell you. I think it needs to be done with these guys for the betrayal of our country and our laws.
It's awful. It's awful, and I certainly understand what you're saying, Kelly.
But that bit about Barack Obama being a Muslim—that and here I am in the middle of fundamentalist Baptist Texas, and
right.
I just have to laugh. These people are insane.
I hear you. Well, you ought to,
hopefully.
You ought to try living here in the buckle of the Bible Belt in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Christian is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hello? Oh, we lost him. Oh, well. Christian, call back in, and we'll try again. All right. Email from... Tom, Mike, I've about reached my limit. Currently, I don't own a weapon, but I'm almost ready to go shopping. I hate to say it, but if the time comes, what a bloodletting there will be. People who go along with this kind of stuff should be treated as collaborators. He's talking about the InfraGuard. And, well, we know how those folks are generally dealt with. Secondly, it seems Hillary was instrumental in the suspension of David Schuster. Have you read the letter she wrote to the head of MSNBC? Admittedly, the comment by Schuster was not appropriate, but the real story is the overt threat by Hillary to squash the few media voices that might cast a scrutinizing eye against the Clinton II administration. What type of firearm do you recommend? Anything that you can handle. Make sure you're trained and get a permit and register and go through all that stuff that the crazy Nazis at the NRA tell you not to do or you shouldn't have to do. Of course, register it. There's nothing wrong with registering. Jesus, God, every weapon I've got is registered. You bet your ass is registered. I don't want the police to come in with their, let's go see your weapons thing and to take something that's not registered. Oh, my God, what am I talking about? The David Schuster thing. In case you don't know, he made the statement that the Clintons had Chelsea out pimping for Hillary's campaign. That was the expression David Schuster used. There's a difference here, and a lot of people are going to say, "Well, Malloy, you weren't that strong on." Don Imus. Imus, when he said nappy-headed hoes, well, there's a little bit difference there, I think. I think Imus understood, and so did his producer guy, exactly what they're saying. Pimping for the Clinton administration, I think David Schuster is kind of rough around the edges to begin with. You know, he's not all slick like some of the people on MSNBC. Now, I will grant you that there are a lot of people on MSNBC that have really been giving Hillary just old Billy hell. Especially Chris Matthews, who's terrified of her because apparently because she doesn't have a penis. or because she does have a vagina. It has something to do with sexual body parts with Chris Matthews. He is, you know, Chris and his man crushes. I've just about had enough of this son of a bitch. But anyway, I've said before, some of the treatment that Hillary gets from some of the folks in media, especially at MSNBC, forget Fox. Fox is not, you know, Fox is just a sewer. But MSNBC, that has talented, some talented people like Keith Olbermann, the kind of treatment that she takes, gets from some of those pigs, almost makes me want to become an absolute Hillary fan just to strike back. That makes me understand why Barkop is so clear-minded on his support of Hillary Clinton. You know, Barkop may be right. When the dust clears, Barkop may be right all along. It just could very well be. Barkop is a great American. For those of you who have never visited his website, you ought to get your ass over there, bartkop.com, just like it sounds, bartkop.com. But he has been backing Hillary against every single attack from the left, from the right, wherever. And, you know, it may turn out that Barkop is absolutely right, that the only person with the strength to stand up to this right-wing sleaze machine, whether it comes from, you know, the Arkansas Project gang or MSNBC or wherever it comes from, may be Hillary. She may be the only one that has the strength because she's been battle-tested with these pigs. Having said all that, David Schuster's comment, I think he understood immediately as soon as he said it, because he was on MSNBC the next morning and that evening apologizing and stating the obvious that Chelsea Clinton is, you know, a decent kid, and he didn't mean that, you know, pimped in the sense of, you know, like working for, you know, going out and being turned into a whore. No offense to sex workers. But, you know, what a terrible, terrible situation. I can, on the other hand, you know, I can certainly understand Hillary Clinton getting very upset about that kind of a comment. You know, this is hardball. I don't mean Chris Matthews' program. I mean this campaign. It is. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. But it's my understanding that Chelsea Clinton was given the task of calling superdelegates in the Democratic Party and, my word here, pressuring them to vote for her mother if it comes to that point, rather than for Barack Obama. Once you get into the slime pit of presidential politics, then, okay, I'm sorry, you're there. So David Schuster's comment, again, you know, we can have programs on TV like Pimp My Car, what is that, Pimp My Ride. It has a different meaning in the vernacular. It just has a different meaning. It's not literally pimping. Now, I don't know what David Schuster meant, but he's been suspended, and I didn't know Hillary Clinton had written a letter to MSNBC. But it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You know, the Republicans introduced us all to the politics of destruction, starting with Nixon, only it really got bad then with Reagan, and especially bad with George Herbert Walker Bush. Remember the vice presidential debates where he went up against Geraldine Ferraro, and the a live mic caught him saying, well, we kicked a little ass there, didn't we? Big macho George Herbert Walker Bush got into a debate with Geraldine Ferraro. Remember that? And then it really went into the toilet when Karl Rove made his presence known. This guy who is a disciple or was a disciple of Lee Atwater's. Atwater was the one who, excuse me, came up with wedge issues, the whole idea of dividing America rather than uniting it. And it was Lee Atwater, you all know this, I've said it before, who on his deathbed begged forgiveness as he dying of brain cancer, begs forgiveness of the American people for corrupting the political system. And I think most Americans just didn't really care whether Lee Atwater lived or died. Most of us didn't even know who he was. But that's the school that Karl Rove comes from. So it's a shame that we've gotten to that point. But here we are. We'll be right back. 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew for the program tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls. Billy Foster is our technical director. Ben Birch is the podcast manager. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Bob Alexander is our resident philosopher. And don't forget, Saturday, February 23rd, Phoenix Truth Seekers, KPHX listeners, Nova M subscribers, people who can get to Phoenix, come and meet me and Scott Ritter. Information at 1480kphx.com. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Joe, welcome to the program.
I don't even like MSNBC. I mean, to me, they're all just a bunch of yuppie punks. I never had any respect for that network ever since they fired Phil Donahue 5 years ago. But this ain't about David Schuster talking about somebody's daughter being pimped out. The reason the Clintons are going after MSNBC is that Hillary Clinton, she's got one favorite cable news network these days, and it's called Fox News Channel. You got the Fox News Corporation sending over tens of thousands of dollars in contributions to her. This is a total ruse. This is total BS. I hardly believe they are that upset by what David Schuster said. And even if they are, they know damn well he probably didn't mean to say it, or that he's sorry and that he apologized. But they don't care. You know, this idiot Billy Bob, he goes around golfing with George Bush Senior and Billy Bob and the president. They're like brothers. This is a bunch of BS. And Bart Kopp is full of it. I guess that's it.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Whoops, he hung up. Regarding the pimping comment, Claudia writes, give me a break, Mike. Of course you know what Schuster meant by his comment. In the context of his comment, he basically said the Clinton campaign was exploiting the goodwill of the party toward Chelsea to get support from them for Hillary's campaign in superdelegate pledges. Don't insult your listeners by pretending you don't understand pimping in this instance. Well, Claudia, just a very brief comment here. I don't pretend anything on this program unless it's obvious parody or, my weak attempts at humor. Pimping, when you and I grew up, Claudia, I'm assuming you're above a certain age, had a very specific meaning. And the meaning has changed considerably now. It depends on how it's being used, and it depends on the ferocity or the intensity of the comment being made. To say that someone is the Clinton campaign was pimping Chelsea, I don't think they meant to. Do you think they meant that she was being asked to go have sex with superdelegates so they would then vote for Hillary? Is that what you're implying? Because if you're not, then you're not using the literal definition of the word either, and yet you're accusing me of not using the literal definition. So unless you mean that the Clinton campaign wanted Chelsea to go have sex with superdelegates to get the vote for Hillary Clinton, then you're as off base as I am, I guess. Pimping in the contest that David Schuster meant it was, as far as I know, was he didn't mean that she was to go have sex. Is that what you mean? Because that's the literal definition of pimping. Go have sex for money or for something in return. Come on, Claudia. Don't tell me to not insult my listeners by pretending I don't understand pimping. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Huh? What do you think? Oh, well. Well, that's kind of a negative way to end the program. No, I don't ever assume that, I take the listeners of this program for granted, or that I sell them short on their ability to understand what's being said, whether it's being said literally or figuratively, or in a parody sense. Never. That may happen on certain other programs, but not here. Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clemens. You owe me 3 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me, say the bells of Old Bailey. When I go rich, say the bells of Shoreditch. When will that be, say the bells of Stepney. I do not know, says the great bell of Bow. Here comes a candle to light you to bed. And here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Chip chop, chip chop. The last man's dead. I know a lot of us think of that from Orwell's 1984, but apparently it had something to do with the execution of Charles I during or shortly after the English Civil War. I remember hearing that when I was a kid, just the last part. Here comes a candle to light you to bed, and here comes a chopper to chop off your head. I had no idea what it was from, but I can remember hearing that and just being absolutely terrified. A chopper to chop off your head. Reminds me of another one. Last night upon the stair I saw a man who wasn't there at all. He wasn't there again today, but I wish to God he'd go away. That's about it from us for tonight. Thanks a lot for participating in the program, however you did that. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.